is Amy, the senior group fitness instructor at the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast. Are you looking for a spark of inspiration to bring to your next class? Find us at indoorcycleinstructor.com.
Happy New Year. This is John from the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast, and I want to wish you and your family a healthy and fitness-filled 2011. This is podcast number 131, and I'm glad you've joined us. Are the participants, your club members, your students, potentially some of the local cyclists in your neighborhood interested in winter training? Talking today with Gene Nacy from Cycling Fusion. How are you, Gene?
Terrific. How you doing, John?
Well, good. And welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you.
You've got big plans for 2011, and right now it's the implementation of your winter training program that had me interested, and I thought that I would bring you in because you have a lot of experience creating and implementing winter training programs at your studio there in Lower Burl, Pennsylvania. Did I say that right?
Yeah, that's our little suburb outside of Pittsburgh, right?
Exactly. All right. So, well, first of all, tell me, you started a winter training program. What was your motivation? You know, what was the why that you did that?
Well, the real motivation was to be able to implement a sort of periodization, which is, you know, I guess a big word that basically means breaking your training up into large chunks over a season. And the average indoor cycling class or club that offers indoor cycling didn't really have that approach to training. And it was hard to because just the way scheduling works. And I needed some way to try to introduce that concept and to make it work in a commercial environment. Having my own club was a nice, I guess, environment for me to try things out. And so we tried that in one winter where we set up a 16-week program. We started 12, then we went to 16. We're back to 12. It's about the right amount of time. And so that we had a measured way to implement something over this period of time, and we had a structure that changed every week, but was all part of the theme.
And your early experience from a success or failure?
Well, it was wildly successful, and it's almost like it was too easy to be successful because most people just don't focus and stay on track with any program for 12 weeks. In and of itself, it's easy to sort of fall off. But when you are training with a group of people, especially during a period of the year that there's not a lot else going on, especially if you're a cyclist and live in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm. Or Midwest.
Right. I mean, it was sort of like low-hanging fruit for us because we were just created such a good environment that was motivating. Just coming together and being focused for 12 consecutive weeks was a big plus in and of itself. But of course, when you add, you know, some expertise and some structure to it, it just takes you that much further.
Well, it's interesting, and I can't remember what number it was. It was way back, but Graham Street from Cycle Club, who is has a training resource for outdoor cyclists.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying that what he perceives as the failure of indoor cycling is that it has no beginning or end, and that people enjoy structure.
Right.
If it's presented in front of them. And that's really what you've been doing then, isn't it?
Right. And that very thing is, I think, one of the big drivers, because I had cyclists come to me and say, you know, I've been riding for quite a few years, and I always thought that I should look into a structured program, but didn't know where or how to start or whatever. So, you know, we made it easy for them. And, you know, this one thing to want to train, it's another thing to spend the time and do all the planning and the research, and that can take as much time as the training itself.
Right. Well, and it's hard to implement on your own.
Right.
Exactly. I know because when I trained as a cyclist, yeah, that's just to you know, there's so many distractions in your life, and
mm-hmm.
and you know, and people will talk about the importance of having a training buddy, you know, where it becomes a point of accountability.
Right.
But your program did that as well. I mean, it became somewhat of a group. that met every week.
Yeah, and it was neat too, because even though we at our club always had kind of tiered classes, beginner, intermediate, and advanced, this was the one place we had everybody come together, and they could train together because we tracked training load. And that was the concept, where you can start at different levels. We had some people starting at 500 points, and the team would start at 1,000 points, but they would all increase 5% rather a week. And so even though they were at different levels, and you know, one group might produce higher power, you know, watts per pound, than the other, they were on the same sort of journey, and they had to increase their training load every week. And so you saw them talking about, you know, getting their points throughout the week in between the sessions, despite the difference in levels, that they had this commonality. So that it was a great dynamic, that group dynamic.
Explain in a little more detail what you mean by training points.
Well, training load is a concept that is founded in heart zones, that it's very simple. The amount of time you spend in each zone is multiplied by the number of that zone. Because the higher your heart zone number, the higher your heart rate, the more work you're doing, the more stress your body is under. And so it's a way to measure that training load that you're experiencing. And so if I'm in zone 2 for 20 minutes, 2 times 20 is 40. That's 40 points. If I'm in zone 4 for just 10 minutes, that's also 40 points, because I'm multiplying the 10 minutes times 4. So each week, our program, we designate how the percentages, how much time you should spend in each zone by percentage. So it's not just getting your points. You have to spend the time in the right zones. And that's part of the periodization, is spending the right amount of time in the right heart zone, so you do the proper base building, and then you move towards strength building. And that's the kind of structure and the, you know, the in the periodization plan that really yields the benefits. And so that's, it all comes together. It's the training load, it's the base building, it's the long-term periodization.
Now, did you do some kind of an initial assessment of someone's level of fitness at the beginning that you could compare to the end? Did you do something like that?
Yeah, we do, because we've been a New Leaf site for a while. We did metabolic testing pre and post. So everybody that went through had a pre-test and a post-test. We had a few people that were pretty anxious to do a midpoint test in our 16-week program because it was so long, and we did that for a few of them as well. But that's really important, because they know they feel better, they know they are doing better, but there's always something about seeing it in writing, measured, you know, scientifically, as it were, and the results were dramatic. So. But the other important thing about that pre-test is it helped us really establish their threshold, you know, much more accurately, so that we can set their heart zones. Now, we could have done a field test, and then we could have compared it to field testing and other, you know, metrics later. So you don't have to do a metabolic test before and after, but if it's available, that's the best way to do the before and after.
But establishing some type of an understanding, a threshold at the beginning.
Yeah, that's important. Number one, you've got to have at minimum a field test to establish your threshold, so you know your heart rates, because you're going to keep track of how much time you spend in each zone. And then the second thing we do, if not in the first week, by the second week, we did power baselines. Even though we hold power training to the second half, we want to know what they came into class with in terms of their watts per pound, what they can generate in each of the different power zones. So we just do that test in the beginning, and then we sort of leave power training until the second half, but we have a baseline.
Interesting. And you're using Kaiser M3s now in your studio.
Right. And again, it could be any bike, but the importance is just to baseline your power. And we like to baseline it on all three areas, the sustainable, climbing, and explosive. You basically, those are three generally, you know, commonly agreed to categories of using power. your long-term endurance, you know, your time trial, 20 minutes or more, 2x20s.
Threshold then, type.
Yeah, threshold, most people call functional threshold. You do those, that kind of baselining. And then we like the shorter efforts too, 3 minutes or 5 minutes to represent more of a climbing type of power. And then 1 minute or less is the explosive type of power.
Interesting. All right. Well, and I have to imagine at the end of the program, if you can demonstrate to the participant that the money they spent was well spent.
Right.
It makes for some happy repeat customers, I bet.
Oh, absolutely. And the beauty of the metabolic too was that outside of, you know, you'll see the power results, which are great and really going to appeal to cyclists. But obviously we still have plenty of folks that want to lose weight and get in shape, and that's all good, and change their body structure. The base building and the work you do, especially in the beginning, is one of the best ways to train your metabolism. And that's where the charts and the graphs of the metabolic test really help, because they can see the post test that they're burning a higher percentage of fat through all their zones, and they're burning it longer before they start to tail off to favor the carbs. And that becomes extremely reinforcing, and they start to see the value of periodization and spending time in those lower zones and doing those endurance rides, which really takes a hard sell to get people to understand the importance of it.
Yes. Oh, and I see that all the time. I hear, right. I hear people in my class all the time. Oh, I just had an assessment, but I'm not going to follow it. Because I'm not going to work that easy, because it's not productive.
Yeah. Or it's not fun. And
right.
I mean, I know I've been there on both sides, and that is the challenge for us as instructors or, you know, managers of clubs, is to make that really important work more fun and more interesting and more motivating. And the program helped to do that. And we used a lot, I have to confess, we used a lot of videos in our low zone work, because it helps to keep them engaged. Mm-hmm. And because there's not a lot of variation, you know, in what you're doing, and you're doing a lot of steady state work, but there are ways to keep it interesting and fun, and you just have to be a little more creative.
A suggestion for those listening: if you're not offering metabolic testing at your club studio, but you're thinking, wow, this would be something cool, if you go to newleaffitness.com, I think it is, or just Google New Leaf Fitness.
New Leaf Fitness. Mm-hmm.
Right. They're the provider. On their site, they have a thing where you can put in your area code, or excuse me, your zip code, mm-hmm. and it will give you a list of providers that are in your area. And it may be something that you want to find a way to partner with them, bring them in to give a demonstration. Maybe they could do a demonstration on you, which I've done in the past in front of my class. It's very effective. Mm-hmm. And so it's a tangible thing that you can put in front of people, and that will help them systemize
right.
what it is that they're going to do going forward. All right. So good.
And
all
even
right.
if they don't have someone close in their area, I mean, we've found that we can travel with our equipment, and we have. And so if, let's say they got a bunch of folks who wanted to do winter training, if they got probably 10 or more together, it would be worth someone's, you know, time to travel 50 miles or more to do a bunch of tests.
Oh, and that's the point I was going to make, is that when you contact these people, I'm sure they will look at that, because the typical charge for doing this without the cost of the mask is, at least at Lifetime Fitness, you know, they charge $100 for the assessment. And it's my contention that they're worth every penny of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
As long as you follow what they tell you to do afterwards. So, all right. Okay. So your training, your winter training sessions, they're not a 1 hour indoor cycling class. Give us some understanding of what it is that you're actually doing on each day that you're doing the training.
So there's three main parts to the winter training. There's a lecture, there's bike time, and then there's cross training. And so the first hour is lecture, and it starts typically at an hour, maybe an hour and 10 minutes, to lay a lot of groundwork. Because one of the main objectives of winter training is you want people to be educated and really know why they're doing what they're doing, and not just to do it, but to understand it. And so every week is a different lecture, and hopefully, and generally it's very directly related to the type of riding we're doing. So then it goes to bike time, and we start with an hour. And that's why, in our case, we don't recommend beginners try this. We want them to have a base fitness level because they start at an hour. And if they haven't been used to that indoors, that's going to be really tough for them. So we like to see them have some foundational fitness. But we start at an hour, and we increase it about every 2 weeks by 10 minutes. So by the end, you know, we're riding 2 hours in the saddle and doing, a number of different things, which includes, you know, different tests, you know, power tests and heart rate tests. And then the final hour is an hour of yoga and Pilates, where we really, in many cases, are introducing those for the first time to a lot of cyclists who know they should do it, have heard about it, but never really took the time. And so after 12 weeks of doing this, they really start to see the benefits of, this type of cross training. It's the best time to do this type of cross training. They can do it for 12 weeks to see the results. And typically it's what most people agree is the hardest part of the training, because they're not used to it.
How long then? Okay, so you're riding 2 hours. You got an hour's worth of lecture. I remember when I was out.
It's a four-hour session.
Right, because I was out there, and I remember you were serving them breakfast in between.
It was very cool. We snack in between, you know, because obviously you're there for 4 hours. You got to fuel up a little bit, and in between the different disciplines, there's a lot of nice sort of, you know, talking and chit-chatting and getting a snack. And so you can just imagine that there's a nice bond that sort of grows in this group.
Oh, exactly. I was going to comment on that. Right. Yeah.
And it's fabulous to see it. And in general, you talk about building your indoor program. This is so good for that, because when they are done on Saturday, they have so many points to get. They have so much training to do. They're coming back to the club. They're making sure they get their time in. They're seeing each other. And so you have created a sort of what I call a stickiness factor that keeps them steady through that whole winter and interacting with each other. And now they have, you know, riding buddies for life, as it were. And it's just a beautiful thing to see happen.
And it's all about the community.
Yeah, it really does. It does. It's a great way to build a community. Because, you know, what's interesting, before I was on the instructor side, you always knew the people that were in your class. You could see them, sort of like going to church, and you see the person.
How you doing?
But when you start doing something like this, you get to know people. And it does really you see a lot more loyalty to the whole club, because now they're part of something.
Exactly. All right. So you're there 4 hours one day. Do the participants in your training program, do they have additional work that they're doing outside of that one? I think you do them on Saturdays typically. Right.
Yeah. They have, in order to get their training load points for the week at a 5% increase, they'll have to ride so much. And because they start at different levels, it could be a different amount for each person. And some would travel a good ways to come, just because we were the only place that had this. And so they would train at either home or a different club. And those that were, you know, in striking distance, so to speak, of our club would train at our club. I typically told them, look, Saturday is going to be your hard day. You know, we're going to be going the longest probably of any other day of the week. I want to be able to push you. I want to know that you haven't, you know, knocked yourself out the day before, so that I can plan on this being your hard day. And so you get all your other training in, but you, you know, save a little for Saturday. So they get their points in, because if they don't, the first thing we do when we get on the bike is I publicly review everybody's points for the week.
Oh, so you can see the slackers.
That's it.
And introduce a little shame into the whole thing.
It's so that you can encourage the people that delivered.
There you go. Perfect.
That's a better way to look at it. But they know, you know, at the bottom line is they know we're going through everybody's points. And I give them a little leeway. I say, look, if you get 3%, didn't quite get your 5, it's okay. Just going to encourage you to get to 5. If you get 7%, that's okay, but I'm going to ask you to try to keep it under control. But if you go outside that little tolerance, we're going to have a talk. And so, you know, I chide them a little and then we applaud the folks that really, that hit the 5% right on. And it's fun. You know, we keep it light, but they know it's going to be reviewed, and it, you know, keeps everybody accountable. Together, they're accountable.
Interesting. Okay. So that was the past. Now talk to me about the future. What have you got planned coming up?
Well, we're all the same elements are there because the foundation is so strong that, you know, we're repeating all the things that work well. But the big thing that we've added is we're going to broadcast it. We've had so many people tell us they wish they could train with us, but they live too far, et cetera, et cetera. So,
well, I'm one of those people. I'm sitting here all excited because you're going to tell them, but I'm going to be able to participate, even though I'm here in, again, the frozen north.
Right. And so the way this came about was almost by accident, because we had people that wanted to train Sunday because they worked on Saturday. And we had enough people that we said, okay, I'll do it for you, but I can't get all my instructors to come 2 days. I just, both because of schedule and cost.
Oh, you know, we skipped that, Gene. It is important to explain, you know, who's doing the presenting during your training.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, I usually do the lecture portion. And by the way, out of the 12 weeks, I have a guest lecturer come in for nutrition. So 2 of those 12 weeks are lectures on nutrition. So I'll do the other lectures. This year, I'm going to share that with Tom. So Tom and I are going to do the lectures.
Tom Scotto.
Right. And I have, and 2 will still be about nutrition. So, and then he and I also share some of the bike teaching as well. And that gets, we do a little bit of virtual riding as well. So that's a nice variety on the on-bike time. And then the yoga and Pilates is the same teacher. It has been someone that was at our club, but this year our teacher is going to be Sarah Russell.
Oh yes, Sarah, I love Sarah.
Denver for you know, the cycle yoga folks that you and Jennifer went out and visited her place when Tom did a class out there.
Right, and she's got all new M3s out there as well.
Right. So she's going to actually. What's very cool is she's going to broadcast from there during the last hour and. After we'll broadcast from Pittsburgh. So, and the way this came about is we had a Sunday class last year that basically came to class on videos. We recorded everything from the day before, and, you know, from our Global Ride studio, we had all the equipment, and then we just put it on DVDs, and the Sunday folks came in and did the whole program on the DVD and really liked it. So it was no problem. I mean, our screens are 10 foot, you know, wide. So it's bigger than life, you know, and very clear. And they had the same bikes and the same facility, but it was just, you know, recorded. And they seemed fine with it. I thought, well, maybe it'll wear off and then they'll get annoyed with it later. And it just never did. They appreciated it having an option. We had some folks that would have something come up on a Saturday, and they would just do it on a Sunday, knowing they had that option, and they liked that sort of flexibility. And so that's what got us thinking about broadcasting it live and then archiving it. And so that's where we're going this year.
Very cool. Very cool. So the thought that comes to me is, you know, because I keep thinking, okay, so what's an instructor going to, or where is the instructor's interest going to be in this? In that, drawing the comparison between the audio profiles that we have for pro members, you know, where it really walks them through exactly how to teach a class and they can listen to it just before they teach the class. Would there be any application where, you know, someone could participate in your training and then potentially carry that knowledge to their own class?
Well, what we've been thinking about, and I'd really be interested to hear from, you know, the listeners, if, you know, what they think of it, is repackaging our material specifically with the instructor in mind. So for example, you know, Tom and I will use PowerPoint as we do our lecture. We're already planning on sending out instructor or facilitator notes. We have 4 different sites around the country in every time zone that we're going to send some overall instructions so that when we're training together, they just have some guidelines. So we'll have those and the PowerPoint. And if we simply created perhaps the playlist with notes that Tom and I always do anyway before we teach, we might be able to provide an instructor with all the same material so that they could run the program, say, the following week, the following weekend at their club. So that possibility exists. I'd be interested if that would be of interest to folks.
Yeah, and for those listening, this is podcast number 131, and yeah, we would love to know. You know, it was interesting thinking about my conference, you know, and we sent out, you know, kind of a survey and said, you know, we'd be interested in coming to a conference, and we had over 500 people respond to yes, but that was dependent on, well, I'm in LA, and if the conference is in LA, I'll come. But this is very different in that it doesn't matter where you are listening to this, mm-hmm. that this could work.
Right. Absolutely.
Interesting. All right. Well, yeah. So if you find this of interest, you know, leave us a comment. And okay, now, Gene, I'm going to squeeze you now because I'm all about delivering value to my listeners and members. So what do you have that you can offer them?
Well, we have the 20% code that we thought that would be appropriate to give to your listeners and members to give it a try. And that 20% actually is going to be for anything that we offer, any of the packages for the winter training. But we also decided that we know how important it is to have supporting members for the ICI Pro membership. And so for those folks that are already signed up as your members, they can tune in to the first session on January 15th. They can tune in for free. They just need to go on our site and register, and you'll have the free code for members. You can send that out in your newsletter or email. That'll pay for the first session, and if they like it, then they still have the 20% discount on the rest of the program.
Oh, perfect. Well, that's fun. Yeah, and I think it will expose a lot of people to it. And if nothing else, it will give them some understanding of what a winter training program could look like in their studio.
For sure, yep.
Well, okay, Gene, this has been actually very informative, and I appreciate it, and I hope our listeners do as well. I am excited to participate in your winter training program. It starts on January 15th. If someone wants more information on it, where do they get it?
You can just go to cyclingfusion.com, and one of the main links at the top is winter training. Aside from some testimonial videos from folks that have gone through the program before, at the bottom of that page, there's a couple things they can download. They can download a brochure so they could read more details about it or share the brochure. It's a PDF with other folks that might be interested. And there's an actual agenda, the 12-week outline of all the topics we're going to cover in the lecture series and the type of things we're going to do on the bike. It's a rather complete outline, so they get a good feel for what's involved in the whole program. And then, of course, there's a link for pricing so that you can see all the different packages.
Wonderful. Well, Gene Nacy, Cycling Fusion, thanks again for joining us on the Indoor Cycle Instructor Podcast.
It's always a pleasure, John. Thank you.